Hi there, and welcome to Soul Odyssey. For those of you who have been joining us every week, welcome back. I'm so happy to be connecting with you. We have an interesting, I call it a class, this evening. And for those of you who are new and joining us for the first time, I am Deborah Herman. I am a psychic medium animal communicator, and I like to bring in each week a new topic that relates to relevant soul issues. And what I mean by that is that you are each on a soul odyssey. And an odyssey is a journey with tribulation. And I'm sure some of you are laughing to yourselves because when you decided to be on a spiritual path, which you did decide, believe it or not, you thought, oh, I'm spiritual. It's going to be easy. It's going to be fun. It's so fascinating. And it is fascinating. Anything paranormal has been fascinating me since I was a little girl. And especially nowadays, we have so much on the television to watch and the shows that we never would have had years ago that are so fascinating, talking about the other side and spirit and things like Ghost Whisperer and Medium. I don't know how much you all like those shows. I happen to be a sucker for them. And as I can attest, since I went to sleep way too late last night, but hope I'll be on target with you all, I want to tell you that this is a live call-in show. You're welcome to call in with questions, comments, if you'd like some guidance, even if it's not completely related to the topic tonight. I'm certainly happy to answer any of your questions. The call-in number is 888-815-9756. Feel free to call in at any time, and somehow I will find a way to relate it to the topic of discussion. Well, I don't even want to get into the details of what's been going on with people like Tiger Woods, but it's a perfect example of why in our society we need to spiritualize our marriages. And this, as those of you who've been following the show, I don't espouse any particular religion. When I speak of spiritualizing or spirituality, I really believe in my territory being to focus on God, and I call it spirit, and to focus on the journey of your soul. I believe, and this has been my message for the past 25 years, that your soul journey consists of 7 lessons to guide your soul, that you have been given the opportunity in this generation to be given a bit of a hint, because although circumstances haven't changed much, even though as you die and I won't even say Passover, as you die, and as some of you come back, you have different clothing, but you bring your lessons with you, the ones that you didn't finish in your past life. And sometimes they're very relevant to what you're doing in this life. Maybe not the specifics, but certainly the essence of the soul challenge is relevant to your life now. And these 7 lessons, and I hope that you're starting to remember them, but I'll go through them, and I'll keep going through them, are courage, tolerance, self-protection, self-love, ego, love of humanity, and God-love. And I never change the list, because if I change it up, I'm like very liable to forget. And it also is a process. All soul's growth is a process. And it doesn't matter if you get there all at once, which you won't do, or if you take a lifetime or you take several lifetimes. I believe that we're probably slowing down or kind of reaching the end of many cycles, and that some people who are here now either didn't, they didn't really have to be here. They'd reached the end of their soul cycle. and they chose to come here now because we're living in a very complicated time spiritually, and they had to go through all their lessons again. And for those of you who come in from the higher planes and who made a choice to come here, you probably thought twice about it once you got here, because you have to go through all seven lessons all over again, and they're more difficult, because in order for you to be a light worker and a servant of the universe, you have to remember all these lessons so that you can espouse the messages on a pure soul level, and that you don't allow things like your ego to get in the way, and that you know that you're working for the universe, and that you are a messenger, and that you're not the message, that all of the beautiful spiritual feelings and all of the information and all of your particular mission, that it comes through you and not necessarily from you. But on the other hand, you're choosing to be a vessel, and that's a wonderful, wondrous thing. So that's why you have to go back and do all your seven lessons. And anything in your life is going to be an opportunity for you to learn your lessons. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do to really plan for it. But by knowing that you're on the soul's journey, you can assist in consciously developing your soul's path. And you may still have to splat on the sidewalk sometimes, because that's, you know, the best way to describe it. But it can be easier for you to understand what's for the greater good and what, you know, or what was simply a mistake. I don't believe in mistakes, but a mistake of what it is that you were supposed to be learning from a particular situation. And every situation has choice. And sometimes you're going to choose the easy road. I won't say the high road. Sometimes you're going to choose the easier road that is consistent and resonating with your higher self and with your authentic self and with your truth. Or if you're stubborn, like most of us humans, you may choose the road that's going to be more difficult. But in many situations, that can be more of an illustration to you of exactly what it is that you have to learn. And you may, at that stage, learn it and move on. Or when it comes back, you'll understand it, and then you'll be a co-creator in your soul's path. And that's a wonderful thing. And that's when you can start to help, really, although many of you I know, just from looking at the some of you are my Facebook friends, and I'm learning, you know, by looking at your profiles, that so many of you are teachers and healers in your own right, and you're doing wonderful work. But I know you're also experiencing tribulation. We all are. And we can't always do for ourselves. And so as healers and teachers and psychics, etc., what we often need to do is to hold a mirror in front of each other so that we can see where our vulnerabilities are and what our life lessons are. And then we continue to be a vessel for God's light, and we can help others, but we can't also forget that we're on a path and that we can't always help ourselves without also needing to have teachers and companions on these parallel paths that we often feel we're taking completely alone. None of us are completely alone, aside from the fact that we have God. And along with that comes God, you know, will come your particular guides, the angels, all of the universe, wanting to help, wanting to give you love and support. We also forget that there are other people, humanity. There are people that we can connect to on a soul level and who can be our teachers as well as we're being their teachers. And they can be our healers, even if we're unaware. Every time we do healing work, we are also being healed. So let's go back to the main topic, how to spiritualize your marriage. Relationships are precious, and they are a gift. And as I counsel people, I find that when it comes down to the very essence of what everyone wants, it's partnership. And there, now, of course, the first partnership we all crave, aside from whatever issues remain from our family of origin, the first partnership we crave is with God. And sometimes we are in situations where we're not receiving love or we're not partnered, and we feel a sense of loneliness that is almost disproportionate to thinking, oh, I just don't have a date, or I don't have a partner, or I don't have a spouse. And that's the sense of disconnection from God and the universe. And your lessons may push you to the brink of such internal heartache and pain that you have nowhere to go but up. You have nowhere to go but to reach for God. And that's what those lessons are all about. And that's at the core of most of the lessons. But moving beyond that, we all crave some kind of partnership. And, you know, when I speak of marriage, I'm really speaking of committed relationships. Certainly, our friends who are gay are unable to marry legally. And so I'm not leaving you out, but I'm, simply talking about the partnership that is a monogamous relationship, and in our societies, typically, that's in the context of marriage. The biggest problem that I see in marriages, and I will tell you very honestly, I have absolutely experienced the wrong ways to be married. I have been married 3 times. I have been married my 3rd time for almost 15 years. I am totally blessed. I am with my soulmate. And the 3rd time was not only the charm, it was a total blessing. And I really believe that my experiences prior have given me the opportunity to have empathy and compassion and to understand what the wrong ways are to be in relationship with another human being. Sometimes we choose the wrong partner. Going into my 2nd marriage, I knew that, I remember saying, I said, God, I know this is a lesson, but I also know that I'm going to do it anyway. So please teach me what it is that I need to know, because I know, as Betty Davis, I think it was Betty Davis, I think she said, you know, strap yourself in because you're in for a wild ride. And yes, I was. And certainly I'm open to answering any questions about my specific situation, but I really only explain it to you as illustration, that I'm not suggesting to you that the only right way to do this is that you marry the right one out of the gate and everything is perfect. It's not. There's nothing ever perfect about 2 human beings trying to join each other on a permanent path together, through life and all of the foibles and all of the circumstances that you experience together. There's nothing that will be smooth sailing until at least you both can work through your lessons together and to try to share your parallel paths without trying to either get on each other's paths or pull each other off the path because of our innate need not to be alone. When we say partner, we think same. We want them to be exactly on the same page as us. And so many relationships can't work because we basically are trying to smother. I mean, literally, we try to smother our partner because we feel such a deep sense of longing and insecurity that it's primal. It goes back to when we're little babies and we really feel this, sense that if our parent leaves the room, that they're not going to come back. Even though we may be adults and we're in relationships, we can't get rid of that very primal need. It's on such a deep level that we don't always believe that we can trust that people will come back. And add to that the fact that most of us have had paths that have not been the way God would have designed it, because we've added the factor of human choice and trial and error. If everything went according to the way God would have designed it, we would all go through our typical psychological developmental states at all of the right times. Our parents wouldn't also be on their spiritual path and making one mistake after another. Sorry about using that word mistake, but it kind of works in that context. And that they're, I'll just say it, that they're screwing up because, and if they had it over to do, they would probably do the same thing because we do with what we have. So if they didn't have parents who really understood and knew everything and were greatly enlightened, they're going to bring, you know, they're going to bring that on to the next generation. So we all have internal issues that keep us from being the perfect, secure mates. One of the biggest problems in joining with a mate is, and the biggest mistake, is that we leave an out. We go into a relationship nowadays, which I'm all for it, believe me. If we didn't, if in our country at least, we didn't go in the direction of no-fault divorce, and divorce was not a possibility, I really can't imagine what my life would be like right now. Because sometimes we really are with the wrong partner. And you reach a point where lesson learned, and I do not believe that God wishes for us to suffer and to create more suffering if two people are not meant to be together. That's just, from my experience, that's just... I thought that was the way it was, and I probably stayed in certain relationships longer than I had to because I just didn't want to fail. It was a very painful experience. I'm sure some of you have experienced. But we go into our relationships wanting to have an out. So we can. Some of us even get married saying, "Oh well, if it doesn't work out, I'll just get a divorce." You can't go into a relationship even thinking that. If you want a marriage to work, you can't even say that. You can't use it as a weapon. You can't. We all have hissy fits. I have had plenty of hissy fits. I have been so angry because I can't control my spouse over something trivial, because so many things are trivial, and it's a matter of our egos clashing. There have been many times that I've had my little mini meltdowns, but I've been very blessed in my relationship now where, except for one time, that D word has never, ever been on the table. And admitting to you all, I was the one who mentioned it because I was the one who had experienced it. And my fears, once I was getting into conflict, normal conflict, all of my fears came back into the relationship, and my concern of being abandoned and, oh my gosh, we're having a fight. We can't possibly resolve conflict. And so I just went right back to my old feelings of, okay, this is the end. If you as a couple can agree that we will not think about the out and think about, well, let's use a modern word, having a sustainable relationship, not a throwaway relationship, you will work harder. And you will also forgive more and accept more. Because you can't go into a relationship expecting to change your partner to suit you. Because then you're really copping out on the work that you have to do. The only person that you can change is you. And the more you're able to look at your partner and say, you are a separate human being, there are so many things I really like about you. And you can also say, there are so many things you do that get on my nerves. And, you know, but you have to realize that person probably could always get on your nerves if you were in a certain state of mind. But that person will get on your nerves worse if you are in, let's say, a grouchy state of mind, or you're frustrated, or you're anxious. You know, so you need to be accepting that whatever other people do, it's typically not against you. It's typically for them. They're doing it because they may have had a bad day. And then they come in, and human beings, you know, I wish we should all go back to Lemuria or Atlantis, I guess. From what I understand in my limited studies, they were completely telepathic. And certainly when I am able to be telepathic with animals, it's so simple and it's so clear. And there aren't so many nuances, and there's not so much emotion and baggage and visions and, you know, communication is clear. And you can, you know, you can really connect with the other person without reading into everything they say. Now we have a caller. Maurice from New York is visiting with us this evening. Hi, Maurice.
Hello, Deborah. Love your show.
Oh, thank you so much. Does it relate at all?
Excuse me?
Are you resonating with tonight's show?
Yes, I am, especially about leaving a partner who's not good enough, who changes, and, you know, you're not suited for. I've done that myself.
Yeah, and there are times when, you know, there's so much guilt and there's so much pain but you have to be who you are. And if that partnership is really not meant to be, then, you know, perhaps going into it...
Or if it served its purpose.
Exactly, on your path. You know,
right.
So I don't believe that people should stay in relationships that really, really aren't working, because God does not want us to, you know, to suffer and to die inside. You know, we have to be who we are. But on the other hand, if you're, you know, once we get our soulmates and we know they're our soulmates, you know, we can be awfully, you know, awfully difficult by just judging them all the time and thinking that, you know, we got a foot, you know, one foot on a wet floor and the other on a banana peel. Right?
Right.
You know.
Well, my question to you tonight is, what if you consider yourself a spiritual person on a spiritual path, but your partner is unspiritual?
Usually, in my opinion, that's truly God's design. Because we are really not meant to be on the exact same path as another person. Because if you can be parallel, and there are people who are blessed. First of all, I don't believe that someone is not spiritual. I believe they just are not aware that they're on a spiritual path. Because if they have a soul, and so we don't believe this person has no soul, except when you're angry, probably you say you have no soul. But, you know, they're on one. They just are not in this life.
Well, my partner has a soul, and I know that he has spiritual thoughts and stuff like that. But, for instance, a show of this design, he would just, like, he'd just call it crap, and I'm down in the basement making this call, as a matter of fact.
But you know what? It's fine. And it's better, because your path is individual, and what's going to resonate with you, and you're a very creative person, and, you know, whatever is going to be appealing to you, you're not going to always like the same things. And for some people, this is a pursuit, this is a passion, and they're very aware of their higher selves and wanting to grow. And personally, for me, if my spouse were completely doing the same thing every day, first of all, we'd kill each other. Second of all, you know, we would both be flying off to Jupiter, because I'm often very untethered. And I'm grounded by the fact that my partner is very, you know, can be very left-brained when I'm being totally right-brained. You see what I'm saying?
Well, that's the way it is over here, too, actually.
And it gives you look at it this way. It gives you total freedom to be a spiritual being. And even if even if he says, you're just into that, and it's blah, blah, blah. You know, the truth is he loves you. And if you want to have a fight, rub it in his face. Because then all it does is, I've known people whose spouse sees them, reading a particular book and feel so threatened that they want to say, they tell them, don't read that book. But what they're really telling them is, I'm afraid you're going to leave me because you're going to think all these things and I won't be relevant. You see? And they don't know how to say that.
I see what you mean, but I think that's pretty extreme, and that's probably a couple that doesn't belong together.
Well, and it turned out they weren't.
They're trying to ban each other's book lists. I think that's terrible.
Well, let's just say, speaking as someone who may or may not have experienced that, which I will never divulge, no, that couple is certainly not together anymore. So be glad it's not that situation. If you get to, if you share so many other wonderful things, this can be your personal joy.
My own private.
Exactly.
Private world.
Exactly. And, you've got, you're an amazingly creative person. And this is also sometimes. Pardon?
How would you know that?
Well, I do know you. Okay, I do recognize your voice. But I know that also because
busted.
I am psychic. I did know that from the first second I met you. I'm not going to say
busted.
I don't have gifts.
That is true.
And I have said things that have been, but I can't, I'm very honest with my audience. I recognize your voice. You're an amazing person. And I wouldn't, if you were a total stranger, as some of my callers are, none of us are strangers. We're all connected by the soul. So sometimes, the soul energy, I connected with your soul energy right away. When we first met, it was like we knew each other. And you have many people, I'm sure, that you meet who are on a spiritual path that you'll connect to, and it'll be like you're speaking the same language.
I do have other people I can speak with, and that's great, including you.
Yeah.
It would be nice if, you could also have conversations like that outside the telephone or coffee shop.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And you can't necessarily have this with him yet.
You
see what I'm saying? Don't give up because people will always surprise you when it's time for them and when they feel comfortable. Right now I really believe that in your situation, this person is threatened by it. And sees it as something that will take you away. Does that resonate at all?
I guess so. I know he certainly feels sad about lots of other things.
Yeah, definitely. So this is not
but
different.
You said something about somebody before, like, if mommy goes out the door, they'll never coming back.
Well, that's a very primal. Young kids, and I've raised three children, there's a developmental stage where they're supposed, if the mom leaves the room, mentally, they don't understand that mom is going to come back. See, if mom is not within their sight, then...
How do you teach somebody that mom will come back?
Be accepting that they have issues, and you can't really teach someone, but what you can do is realize that it's not about you and that this person, that this person suffers on the inside from a very deep wound. And, I certainly believe that you can love things out of a person. But you have to make sure that you don't get sucked into it you don't want to solve it, and you don't want to be someone's psychologist. You want to, but you want to be there, you know, just constantly say, hey, I'm here. You know, if there are other things that are good in the relationship, as long as you understand where another person's coming from, then you don't have to feel threatened yourself by that. That is their wound. Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much. I love your show. I love your advice, and I just like your whole sensibility.
Well, thank you, and I'm sure that we will see each other sometime.
Okay.
Tune in again next week.
On to your next caller. I'll enjoy the rest of the show.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Deborah.
Bye-bye. And thank you so much. The number to call in, I love when you all call. It's 888-815-9756. It's wonderful because I can illustrate to you that there are circumstances where you can love someone so much, but you each bring into a relationship wounds that can start. Sometimes when I do a reading for someone, I pick up almost like it looks to me, and for some of you who are clairvoyant, you'll understand what I'm talking about. I see sometimes in my mind's eye, it's almost like a time, like a timeline, where I'll see a vision, or I'll hear clairaudiently a number, like an age. One time I did a reading for someone and I said, you know, things, your path, which was smooth and on the right, in the right direction, made a major shift at age 5. You know, and then that person might say to me, oh, yeah, that's when my father died. Well, right there. That's a wound that is felt in your, literally, your cellular memory, in your DNA. And you might not be conscious of it, but your feelings are like, well, now the technology is different, but think of it as a videotape where everything that you've ever felt, thought, experienced is on this videotape. And some things you're able to release and you're able to heal and you're able to forgive people, but we have our mental being, we have our psychological, emotional being, we have our spiritual being, and all of these aspects of ourselves are growing at different rates. So I would say for me, thank God on a spiritual level, I was understanding spirituality and metaphysics and mysticism, and my gifts were awakening far before I think I had. I was very emotionally immature. And so there were absolutely so many things that were just setting me back, even though spirituality made sense. So think about that. This is a very, the human journey is more challenging. We have another caller tonight, Jeannie, from, I believe that's San Francisco?
That's right.
Wonderful. I'm glad I can read the abbreviations. That's good. How are you doing?
This is the first time I've heard your show, and I like that you're talking about relationships because I'm having an anniversary, even though it's like of when we met, even though I've been gone 2 years, the anniversary is triggering a lot. You know what I'm saying? I left the relationship 2 years ago, but because it's our anniversary of when we met, I'm just way in memory land.
Okay, and that's good because I was just talking about, you know, the video.
Right,
okay, yours is trying to help you put closure and make and release some of this because in spite of the fact that were you not the one who wanted to get out?
No, I didn't. I mean, I did leave. But because he couldn't commit easily, right?
Exactly. So
right? Is that what it was?
Right. So you made the move out of self-preservation, but if it had been your choice, you would have stayed with him if
right.
he had been able to meet what you needed.
Exactly.
And so what's happened is you have a string, like a wire that's still, you know, like the old telephone where they have the
cans.
Oh, of course,
yeah, definitely.
Okay? And so you need to heal that in order to move on to another relationship that's you know, going to satisfy you. Even if you're seeing people, you're not going to, you know, even if you don't have a relationship, you are not fully having a relationship with yourself because you've got an open wound. So I'm thinking that a little bit of a ritual is called for.
I've done so many rituals and things, you know, but I'll do another one. Yeah, I've burned things and thrown things off cliffs.
You have to be really, really ready.
I'm trying to be ready. I'm trying to do it.
Tell me if you've done this ritual.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you still have a photograph of him?
Somewhere. But I do look at pictures online. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so in other words,
I've gotten into that the past week or so because it's the anniversary, and I'm dreaming about him and finding his clothes
you're
in the house. Yes, I am.
That's what my daughter would call it. When I send her notes on her Facebook, like, what are you doing? She says, are you lurking my Facebook?
That's exactly what I'm doing. Oh, I am. It's crazy. Terrible.
Well, it's not. It's because you still have that wire. You can do a bazillion rituals, and if your soul is not connected to it, it's not going
to
work. There's no power outside.
I want it to be over so I can move on, but I can't seem to make it happen. Very strong tie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we had other lives, and we had a similar spiritual path and all that, right?
You know, I actually don't think you had other lives together. I think he reminds you of someone that is a cell memory. And that's why, no matter what, it wasn't exactly right. I think it's a similar karmatic soulmate type of thing, but not the one. I think if you see, I don't think you've let go of the fact that he could really be your soulmate.
Right. And that, I'm still hoping and praying and wishing.
Right. And let me tell you, when God gives you a soulmate, you can't blow it. All right?
What's that mean? You mean it's...
You can't blow it. If the universe has someone for you...
Oh, I see.
No matter what, you know, everybody's so worried. Oh, I didn't go to the right party. I didn't show up here. Okay, I blew it.
It will work out. I see, yeah.
But it waits until you are the person that you're supposed to be so that you can attract in the person that reflects your higher self.
And you're not supposed to be a lurker.
Well, right now you are a lurker.
I know it. That's why I'm calling you.
I know. And it's because, to be honest,
please,
you're sad. It's as simple as that. You're sad. And you have to experience the sadness and the grief. You have a lot of sadness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, lurking his Facebook is helping you to distract yourself from those deep feelings.
And it's not just about him, right? The sadness.
Yeah, it's not
or
at all.
He's
face.
He's just a distraction. Okay.
Do
that deeper work.
Exactly.
I used that word today. I said this is a distraction.
Oh, see? Good. I'm connected to the I'm connected to that telephone. Right? Maybe we'll just add like a little string that diverts it from, you know, you to him and now you to me and then out to the universe. But you really need to go into the deeper work and get to the source of that sadness. Is your father in spirit?
No, but I never knew him. Yeah, that's who he reminds me of. In fact, I was just thinking that very minute.
Okay. Well, God's giving you your answer. You have very unhealed wounds that relate to your father, and he reminds me
of all that. Yes.
Yes. And it's once you're able to do some healing work, and quite frankly, with me helping you see this is healing work. You're going to be surprised at the catharsis you have later.
Okay.
You know, because I'm a little bit of a psychic dentist. Or no, let's say acupuncture. That's a bad image. Acupuncture.
Okay.
So I'm pressing on your spiritual nerves, like, and it's going to release the energy. So believe it or not, you're going to feel better later. You will have a catharsis. And it's a good one, and you should, you know, maybe take a hot bath and, you know, sip on some wine or whatever, as long as you don't take medication.
Yeah, I did not, right. Yeah, I don't.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I want to get through this. I know it's a journey, and I know this was a trigger for healing, and I see the connection with my dad, and is it as meaningful to him as it is to me, or is it really just my journey?
That's an answer that your guides don't want to give you, and it's because they love you. Because
and they know it would encourage me to think it was more like, yeah, okay, I get it, yeah.
It's totally irrelevant. He has served his purpose as your karmatic soulmate, and he is, what you need to do in this ritual is bless him and ask God to accept him into his arms. You are going to send this man into God's arms and ask that he find peace. And what you can do is if you have candles that are the colors of the chakras,
uh-huh.
Print out one
that.
Of those photos that you, okay, print out one of the photos
that
you've been
I
lurking.
Lurk. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And you're going to cover it completely in wax. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And
I'm with you.
Then you're going to put it in a jar. You're going to put distilled water and sugar. All right?
Yep, I'm with you.
And you're going to write a little petition, you know, saying all the wonderful things that you gained from the relationship, but you're going to ask God to release it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to seal the jar with wax.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to turn it upside down and put it next to your water pipes, somewhere like under the sink.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the day of the solstice, the 21st,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want you to bury it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this one doesn't work, then we'll all have to just give you a kick in the butt. Because that is a very symbolic, metaphorical, powerful ritual where instead of holding on to the negative feelings, you're letting them go. And instead of holding on to that karma, you are seeing it as part of your path and you're letting that go. And you're sending it all to God. So
mm-hmm.
That opens it up because then you're saying, okay, God, and never say, oh, God, send me this particular guy who looks like this particular way.
No, I don't.
You always,
yeah.
Okay, remember, mm-hmm. and this is to anybody in the audience who is mm-hmm. trying to find a mate, always ask God, if it be your will, send me the right person. because mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, we never know what's best for us.
Mm-hmm.
And you will recognize your soulmate when you meet him. But you have to be a little bit more healed, you know, a little bit more centered on your path. But it doesn't, you know, but time, it's God's time. It's not, you know, I'd probably give it about 3 months.
Mm-hmm. I'll call you back in 3 months and tell you the good news.
Well, I certainly hope you'll be listening before then, but you can call again anytime.
I will. Yeah, I listen to the next two shows, so I just tuned in early this time. I listened to Veronica and then Jackie, so...
Well, I'm so glad that you joined our show.
Yes, thank you. I will be back.
Okay, and bless you and have a wonder-filled holiday season.
I use that word. Did you hear me saying it, or is that your word as well?
It came from the universe because I just started using it recently.
Oh, me too. So, I put it in all my cards I mailed off in the last few days.
Yep. The universe must be sending that out. It must be a code.
Yeah, wonder-filled. Uh-huh. That's exactly how I spell it, yeah. Well, thank you and bless you, too.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye.
Well, I am loving these calls, and they're so related to what we're talking about tonight. And when you are in, I'm going to remind you again that the... number to call is 888-815-9756. We probably have time for one more caller. But I also want to wrap this up for you. The soul process is to help you to be who you really are. It's to help you to become the best you and to see what you're made of. And so these seven lessons... courage, tolerance, self-protection, self-love, ego, love of humanity, and God-love, which on some of the shows we discuss in more detail, we are able to put it in the context of your marriage. Now, of course, I'm an author, and I'm working on a book about this subject, so at some point I hope you'll all read it, and then you can see much more specifically than what you can hear in this hour that really goes by very, very fast, at least for me, because it's so much fun and so interesting to get your feedback. But if you're able to see that your relationships fall into these categories, it will really amaze you. There's nothing without meaning. But the biggest point that I want to get back to, if you take anything away from the hour this evening, is to go into a relationship without focusing on getting out of it and learn to accept each other and understand that you share your path, but you don't give it away. You don't, if you go into a relationship and you collapse your identity into the other person, you're basically opting out of your own journey. And that's not going to fly. The universe won't let you do it. And it's going to come back and it's going to, you know, bite you in the derriere. And you'll have lessons related to it because you can't just say, okay, I'm not on this path anymore. This is just, you know, I mean, you can, but your higher self and your soul, being that it is ignited, your soul energy has been ignited, it's not going to just let you lay back and you're just going to become miserable. And you'll wind up taking it out on your spouse and... You have to listen to the messages that you get from your spiritual self, from that, you know, still small voice. And you need to pursue the signs from God. The only way a marriage is spiritualized is really if God is at the center and the two of you have different identities. Now, I can hear Maurice practically thinking, well, my spouse is not on a spiritual path. It doesn't matter. If you know that you're on a spiritual path, remember to keep God at the center of the relationship. Don't allow your partner, your spouse, to take you off your path. You can't, you know, let's say your spouse has addictions. You can be there to help, but Al-Anon was created for the very purpose of helping a person who's living with an addict maintain their spiritual and personal identity, because you can't make other people's choices. And if another person is causing you to leave your path and to die inside, it's wrong. You are violating your, you know, your imperative for being a human being. You really can't get out of this. You are a spiritual being in human form, and while you're on Classroom Earth, you are here to learn these lessons. And I feel very blessed that I'm here to help explain them to you. I hope that you'll continue to join me each week. We'll cover a different area, a different topic. Each week, Spirit gives me another topic. I don't really plan it out that far in advance. You know, I have things that I like to talk about, but something that I see or something that is in the universe or that I see on the news, sometimes it triggers a thought that may help you as you pursue your path. And for you to understand that there is, I'll coin this phrase, there's method to this madness. There's a reason. Nothing is without purpose. And your joy is there. It's not, you're not supposed to be miserable in your life. You're not supposed to suffer. You are supposed to experience a direct connection with God's love and to use that to bring light into the world. That's your purpose here. But you also have to transcend your own experiences. And so, you know, avail yourself of all of the human creations. You know, there are many, many wonderful therapists who can help with our emotional state and with our mental state. Certainly, there are wonderful spiritual teachers. There are wonderful books. My website is almost going to be, I've been talking about it, but I think it's ready to launch. And keep in mind, it's going to be www.soul-odyssey.com. Remember the dash. That's soul-odyssey.com. We must be getting close to the end of our show, but I want to thank all of you for joining and for supporting the weekly show, and those of you who called in, it's just a delight. I hope that you'll continue to listen and call in again. And have, I think we're going to be coming into the holidays. I will be here unless the, I don't know if Thursday falls on the holiday. I'm kind of guided by the angelic realm when it comes to time. So I have to check with people. But I want to wish all of you a totally blessed holiday season, and hope that you're experiencing lots of love and care. And if you're feeling lonely, reach out to people, because others are feeling the same thing. And know that your angels, spirit, all of the universe, and God is there to love you. Good night, everyone, and thanks for joining Soul Odyssey.